conversation, dialogue that you were having. I'm just realizing how very, very fortunate we are to recognize that we have only one problem. Do you realize what that means? It's just so extraordinary in a world of one problem after another, one bigger than another, one more insane than another, one problem after another, and then within the multiplicity, just the divisions and categories of problems, and that we know that there's one problem, and that's our decision to believe the ego's thought system, to believe we're separate, to believe that I am this person in a body living in a world. And you know, that's when I look at what's the obstacle here that I'm not leaping into heaven, that none of us are, we're all still here, all still here from want of not wanting to be there. It's really our decision, and you know, we still find ourselves wanting to hang on. And the word that comes to me in that is what keeps me here, what keeps me from you know, giving my Jesus my hand and having him lead me out of the dream in this next moment. And what keeps me here? And the answer is specialness. I don't want to lose my specialness. You know, I don't want to give up my individuality. I'm too afraid of oneness. I'm too afraid of love, which is oneness. It can't be anything other than oneness. And there's still, you know, the wanting to be me, or I wouldn't be here. So I've been taking a look at what that is, what that means, and of course we all know that specialness, many of the words the Course uses, is not the commonly accepted way that word specialness is used, as a where it's viewed as a compliment. You're so special. And it's viewed as, you know, something that we all would long for. But in the Course, our specialness is described almost on every page. Jesus takes a shot at it. But such things as a triumph over God. I like this next one especially. An evil flower with no roots at all. An evil flower with no roots at all. Wow. The idea of sin made real. An illusion of yourself that is dearer than the truth. So I am holding on to to an illusion of myself that is dearer than the truth. Really? Why? What for? But these are things that have to be looked at in order that we can actually say, no, that's not what I want. I want the truth. I want the oneness of heaven. I want the peace of God. This is what I truly want. Specialness, another definition in the Course, specialness is the seal of treachery upon the of love. And this one surprised me. Specialness is a secret vow that what God wants for you will never be, and that you will oppose His will forever. A secret vow that what God wants for me will never be, and that I will oppose His will forever. Wow, looking at that, that's not what I want either. So when looked at, and these are just a very few of the ideas, when looked at, I see that part of the conversation that goes on in my mind is that I don't want what I truly want. And so looking at these ideas of specialness and how they arise in us on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, how in a relationship, in an encounter with another, I use him to preserve my specialness. How I use him to to keep myself from the very thing that I want and that he wants. So I see very clearly that's how my brother is my savior. That's why the Ark of Peace is entered two by two. That's why we go together, you and I. So in these steps, each encounter is an opportunity to take a step toward what we say we truly want. And I guess that is Jesus' answer to our fears about being hurled hurled into reality. And he says, you won't be hurled into reality. And, you know, we'll give you what you want, and what you want is to return home in a gentle, peaceful way, taking everything with you as you go. You know, literally take everything with you as you go, and turn out the light and close the door, you know. Which is a nice image, by the way. The image of taking Jesus' hand, having him lead us out of the darkness and, you know, into the light through forgiveness, for seeing our brother truly is and learning who we are, that in making that commitment and walking home together, walking out of the dream together, or not at all, that we get to do what we asked to do and close the door and turn out the light. I just love that imagery. That oh dear, it's pretty funny when you think of it. So Jesus has given, of course, in miracles, specific lessons, and I particularly like the lessons 181 to 200, which are the lessons that he says will make our weak commitment strong, and will have us let go of all other goals, a goal that we truly want, which is to awaken from the dream and see the truth, see reality, see the real world. And so the lesson of today that actually my lesson today in working through these and teaching them as classes, the lesson is, love is the way I walk in gratitude. Love is the way I walk in gratitude. In other words, oneness is the way I walk in gratitude. Because love is oneness. Love is the way I walk in gratitude. And this lesson contrasts the egos, our specialness view of gratitude, or gratitude to destroy. This is, there's a forgiveness to destroy, there's a gratitude to destroy, that still separates. And so the ego's version of gratitude is always based upon differences, not oneness. And so we have to learn in this lesson to be right-minded, to join with the Holy Spirit, and to practice these teachings that Jesus has given us. And we would be insane not to. In fact, there's a place in this lesson that says you'd be insane not to apply this, you know, when you see what gratitude to destroy is about, when you really look at it, when you see this, you know, gratitude for specialness, then you will obviously recognize it when it occurs. And in the looking, again, it's always looking, in the looking and seeing how I, holding on to my specialness, I can instantaneously choose again. It's not even a choice, really. It's just the looking and seeing it is all that's needed for the shift to occur. So learning to see how we use gratitude for specialness comes first, so that the ego can be undone, because that's the only interference. Gratitude is a lesson hard to learn for those who look upon the world amiss. The most that they can do is see them as better off than others. And they try to be content because another seems to suffer more than they. Notice they try to be content. Of course, no one can truly be content with that. But they try to be content with another suffering because they're not suffering. How pitiful and deprecating are such thoughts, for who has cause for thanks while others have less cause, and who could suffer less because he sees another suffer more? So those ideas in that first few sentences expresses the ego thought system of one or the other. Initially, in taking our specialness and running with it, turning our back on God and saying, you know, we don't want your old oneness of heaven anymore. We want something special. We want to be in charge of our own ideas, and we want to have our own thoughts, and we don't want to be told what to do. So whatever that little perceptual temper tantrum was, it was a one or the other idea in the mind. It's one or the other. I either get to have me, I'm simplifying this a lot, but I either get to have me or it's God. It's one or the other. There can't be a special, separate, individual me and the oneness of heaven. So I chose me. I chose me. Because here I am. So the one or the other idea is still in my mind until the separation is healed, of course, until I return home. I still have the one or the other idea going on. And that plays out in all of our relationships, all of our thinking. I'm grateful because you lost and I won. That means I won. I'm grateful the lab test came back and it's negative, had cancer. But a heck of a lot of other people do. So I'm grateful that I don't have cancer. I'm grateful that have been tragedies, you know, horrific forest fires in Colorado. 34,000 people evacuated, over 500 homes burned, but, you know, the ego says, I'm grateful that I don't live in the Black Forest. Or I'm grateful I have more money, or I'm grateful, but it's always based on differences and comparison. So we have to see that in ourselves and hear when we speak that talk and recognize that we don't do that anymore because we're committed to our goal, because we've decided that we want to return. We want to return home. We want to return to our whole mind. Your gratitude is due to Him, capital H, alone, who made all cause of sorrow disappear throughout the world. Our gratitude is to the Holy Spirit, our teacher, to guide us through this. And what that's saying is, it's already done. Gratitude to Him who made all cause disappear, all cause of sorrow disappear throughout the world. It is insane to offer thanks because of suffering. This can be another spin on gratitude, that difficult things, challenging things, great suffering can possibly make us more holy. That's another way to separate, using gratitude. It is insane to offer thanks because of suffering. But it is equally insane to fail in gratitude to one who offers you the certain means whereby all pain is healed, suffering replaced with laughter and with happiness. Nor could the even partly sane refuse to take the steps which He directs and follow in the way He sets before them to escape a prison that they thought contained no door to deliverance. So he's saying we would be insane not to use this course and not to use these teachings. And we are insane. So every time I resist, it's a form of my insanity surfacing that I want to hold on to this. I want to hold on to this ridiculous specialness. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. So when I do that, I'm turning my back on Jesus. I guess that's what I want to say, I'm turning my back on the Holy Spirit and, saying, wait a minute, time out. I want to see differences here. I want to use my brother to see differences between us, because those differences preserve my specialness. So, it again keeps circling around to we find ourselves in our relationships, and we make our way home through our relationships. The ego uses our relationships to stay in the dream, to compare ourselves with Him, and to make ourselves different and special, however that is. These are the people that we play on teams with. These are people we work with. These are people we're on committees with. These are people that we see on a daily basis. And every time we compare ourselves with them, that they have more, or that they have less, or that they have something that we lack, and therefore, in the one or the other thinking, that's still in our minds. It's in the one or the other thinking. It's if I don't fit, if I'm lacking, they must have it, and they must have taken it from me, and so I'm justified in taking it back. So that is one of the dances in our special relationships. We see our brothers as enemies, as rivals, as this lesson says. A rival for your peace. And as a plunderer who takes his joy from you and leaves you nothing but black despair, so bitter and relentless that there is no hope of remaining. Finally, the ego's goal in a relationship is, you know, we're never going to get out of here. That's its goal. Its goal is we're never going to get out of here. We're never going to get out of the dream. And so it end result is, of course, for all of us, is death. So that's, you know, that's the track of the relationship that is used for maintaining specialness. That's where it goes. And we have to see that it always ends in death. And this lesson is showing us that we need to be grateful for truth, grateful for oneness, grateful that our brother is not different and not separate and not special. Neither of us are special. We are the same one. We're the same. Who could hate someone whose self is what he is? Would it be possible for us, for you, for me to hate our brother if we knew we were exactly the same? We're the same because we're equal children of the same love, of the same Father. So we must be the same, we must be equal. Your brother is your friend because his Father created him just like you. There is no difference. And when we want to see this, then we want our specialness. It's there. When we want love more than conflict, then it is surely there. Your brother is your friend. This is from the Course. Could you attack your brother if you realized you journey with him to a goal that is the same, would you not help him reach it in every way you could if his attainment of it were perceived as yours? This is very good news. This is very, very, very good news. We can do this. We can do this. It's so vivid in our minds right now that we can do this. And that we have it's guaranteed. That's what I want to say. It's guaranteed, and we all should be laughing. We really all should be laughing at ourselves when we see what our specialness is up to. Oh, I see. I've run over a little bit. Thank you so much. Thank you for loving your brother as yourself. What a great idea. God bless everyone.